If you're in business, you probably have a website, but can your site handle your growth? How many visitors before your site slows down or crashes? What about storage and data security? From web hosting to virtual servers, Pear Networks provides the online infrastructure you need to start, grow, and flourish. When it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 US-based customer support is the best in the industry. No frustrating chatbots or sitting on hold for hours. Check out Pear.com today to learn more. That's P-A-I-R.com.
If you want to pump your body and expand your mind, there's only one place to go. Mind Pump. Mind Pump. With your hosts, Sal DiStefano, Adam Schaefer, and Justin Andrews.
Hey, Mind Pump listeners. You're going to hear an episode here where me, Adam, and Justin really talk about what it means to be fit. We talk about fundamental human movement.
Are you as fit as you think you are?
We talk about some of the things you can do to get some of that fundamental movement. And of course, at the end, we realize, man, we're giving out all this information and people are going to want to work on these things. But where are good resources? And we couldn't think of a better resource than our private forum. We have an amazing private forum.
Which is going up this month, by the way.
It's going to be going up in price, but it's a one-time fee right now, which will also change at some point. It's going to go up in price the last day for the current rate, which is $67. It's a one-time rate, lifetime. It goes up after Christmas Day. So Christmas Day is the last day for this particular rate. But on that forum, we have trainers.
There's doctors. There's physical therapists. There's chiropractors.
And then
there's
nurses.
All kinds of
everything.
And then everyday people.
Everything you need.
Everyday people like you. People sharing their own stories. People watching videos of forum, helping each other out. Lots of good information. It's
transformations out the yin yang.
It's by far the most valuable thing that we offer is our private forum. And it's near and dear to our hearts. That price will be going up after Christmas. But still, right now, $67. Get in the forum. You pay it once. You're in there for life. Check it out, mindpumpmedia.com. Hey, dude, by the way, the new look that you're doing with the beard and the beanie and the fucking shit, the sweater and
you
all
look
that
like
stuff,
Cypress Hill.
You look.
And the shit.
No. Here's the thing about Adam. Adam has the ability to look handsome even when he's not handsome, and it's really irritating me.
It's like when Brad Pitt, he goes on this weird movie where he gets all scraggly and shit.
You got the hippie homeless look.
Yeah, it's a homeless look.
Still handsome. Yeah. I couldn't do that.
Homeless Cypress Hill.
It's really fucking annoying.
I just need a big
hippie
joint.
Homeless. I don't, it happened to me again. It happened to me again last night, and I get so.
Women screamed at you as you
no,
went.
No, no, oh, okay. No. So. What I don't like about it is, so I got it. I'll show you guys. I should have showed you because it happened again last night, and I've already shared this once before with you guys. Is when I go to light a joint that's really small.
Did you light your mustache on fire?
My mustache catches on fire, and it's like when your mustache catches on fire, it's the worst smell, and it's right there. It's under your nose, so it all goes
all day.
Oh God! Because everyone knows the smell of burning hair is like one of the worst smells ever. Yeah. It's even more worse
especially
when it's
pubes.
It's on your well.
Whoa, hold on a second. how are you smoking?
Are you guys with me?
Everybody was like laughing for a minute. They go, wait a second. When do you ever catch your pubes on
what's
fire?
What's the logistics of that?
Justin's into some weird shit.
Yeah. What are you doing?
He's
bro?
All baby. Get the blowtorch, get the baby oil, and get a banana.
If you're smoking joints.
I'm making spells.
You're smoking joints at night, bro, you're doing it all wrong. That's for sure. you're doing it wrong.
Justin said he's making spells.
like Gargamel.
Stir the broth.
Actually, I'm going to go for the – after gross. Talking to Ben Greenfield, I feel like I'm going to go for this kind of wiry look now. Like I'm over the buff guy, so I'm going to get into this.
You get so influenced by all our guests.
I am. I'm going to be hypermobile and wiry and hippie looking.
Hold on a second.
That's my new thing.
Are you joking or are you serious?
I don't know. I'm flirting with it.
Because let me tell you why.
Part of me flirting with it was like feeling you guys out, and the fact that you complimented me on it, I'm like, okay, this might. I might be doing something.
Can I
right.
tell you why I think that's a good idea?
Slithery.
Okay, tell me.
I'm going to tell you why that's a good idea.
Because I'm still in this fucking, everybody, including Ben, refer to me as the bodybuilder guy.
No, why? That's not why.
Oh.
God, it's coming from a bad place again, Adam. Wow. It's got to come from a good place.
Yeah.
Let me tell you why. Because you're. Best, everybody's best themselves is working with their natural attributes, and you've forced yourself, just like I have in the past.
Okay.
You forced yourself to be this big, muscular guy, but you're not. You're probably naturally.
Oh, yeah, very wiry.
Wiry,
very much so.
Mobile, athletic type of person.
Yes.
And I think you'd probably be most comfortable in your skin that way.
Oh, I think.
And the second part here, this is also what's important, is that if you do that, then I move up the rung of who's big in the mind pump crew. I can't. You know what I mean?
I didn't say that wiry. Fuck.
Oh, shit.
No, you know you're
I want Justin to get wiry.
You're right.
No way.
I don't think that's possible.
I can't shrink these glutes.
You're right, and you bring up a really good point because. And I think it's really hard to explain to people when I talk about it, but it just goes to show you, like, how, even someone like Ben, who's been around us enough times and knows who we are, and like, you know, he looks at me and just refers to me as like the bodybuilder guy or the meathead guy, and it's like, wow, you know, I work so hard to get that look, and it's so not my body type.
Is it starting to feel? God, this is great. Is it starting to feel? Like it's not you.
Like uncomfortable.
Well, I knew it was not me before I went into it.
Right. But you said no. I'm saying, is it starting to feel like it's not you?
Oh, well, yeah. But it's not starting. It was feeling that way long ago because you can just tell when you start to push the body beyond where it wants to go naturally, it gives you feedback. Absolutely. Like, I was a very mobile, athletic, any sport, pick it up and do it. And I'm not that guy anymore. Like, I look like I'm in the best shape I've ever been in my life, but I'm not. I'm not from a physical, like from an athletic standpoint, from performance, right?
Moving and mobility and just feeling comfortable. I used to push my body weight up to 220 routinely. 220. I've gotten up to 230. Mm. Now I'm 6 foot. I'm not a massive, like, I don't have a huge bone structure. If anything, I'm kind of narrow with my bone structure.
You have a huge boner.
I have a huge boner, but that's totally different. I'm not counting that.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'd push myself to 220, 230 routinely because I was trying to be this, like, big muscular guy. And when I started to identify, I think what you're going through right now, Adam, I went through a little sooner than you. When I started to identify how uncomfortable I was, because I wasn't really, acknowledging it for a long time, and I started letting my body go to where it wants to and started focusing on other things. And even more recently, I've taken my focus off of just maximal strength. I feel so much more comfortable in my own skin. It's a very, I don't know, I feel like more myself. You know what I'm saying? Mm. It doesn't mean my fitness went down. I'm just not forcing it to go in this extreme situation. And it's funny because we talk about athletes.
You know what that is? Wisdom.
You think so?
I think so.
Because I'm old?
You learn the capacity of your body, and like you press it so much, like trying to get to a certain point. And you figure out like where you feel the best and where you're most comfortable and where you're most mobile, where you're the strongest in that mobility, where, you know, your body's going to be able to perform on command the easiest. Like, all these different factors come into play, like, over years of figuring that out. And, you know, there's definitely a way to tap into that early on.
You know, it's funny because we talk a lot. Adam brings this up all the time about how athletes – professional athletes are some of the they're not the fittest, they're not the healthiest
people at all
because they're forcing their bodies to do something at extreme level. They're repetitive in their motion. You know, obviously, if you're a pitcher, you're repetitively pitching. If you're a swimmer, you're doing the same. Especially if you compete in one stroke, you're doing the same thing over and over again. Well, we kind of fell on that, right? We fell on that you know, I need to get bigger, build muscle type of thing, and we forced our bodies beyond what is probably ideal. And once you start to identify that and move in the direction that works best for you, you start to feel so much more comfortable in the way your body looks and the way your body moves. It's really hard to explain.
I think you explain it very well. Yeah. I think you explain it well. And I think I also think what you're sharing, though, and I know you're trying to relate you and I together, but this is definitely your journey. You know, you guys have already said before, and you know that, and I'll elaborate that. I've always been the guy who I like to experiment and take things to those extremes intentionally. Like, it's not driven through an insecurity. It's not driven through this desire. I got to get this. It's like I approached bodybuilding knowing it wasn't for me. Knowing that I didn't care about that. I wasn't like you. I didn't read bodybuilding magazines and idolize, you know, big competitors before. In fact, I used to mock most of that stuff. But I recognized that there was a growing industry right now. Men's physique and women's bikini exploded that industry. I realized that a majority of those people were the ones that were directing the masses in the fitness world and those that were trying to get in shape. And I saw the opportunity and I saw that, okay, I needed to first show that I could do it. And I thought I was a perfect person to do it because it's not, I don't fit that. It's like me saying like, okay, I'm going to become this hockey player. I've never played hockey in my life and watch me work my way all the way to the professional level. That would be very cool to watch happen, especially when you're not, and to show the steps that it takes to show that anybody could do it if you really put your mind to it. That was the whole purpose of the bodybuilding thing. And even with the like mobility right now, like I've become, and I'm joking about becoming this wiry hippie guy, but that is how I do things. I like to take the extremes, but I also share with people that that's not how they should live, right? And what I mean by that is I like to take like this, okay, now I'm going to become this like super hyper mobile guy and get heavy into that, when really it's about having this complete balance. And that's what we all preach and we talk about. But I don't think, I think you misinterpret me if you think that it's this like awareness thing that I'm having, or it's something that I have driven. I've been driven that way for insecurities. Like, I'm a very confident guy. I'm not in, I have lots of insecurities. I'm aware of them, that they've driven me. But when I have gone after like my fitness goals or a way of training, I'm fully aware of what I'm doing. And I even know too that like, even like when I was chasing you with the deadlifting and the squatting, and like, I knew that when I was heading that direction, like, this is not how I always want to train. It was, I wanted to challenge myself that if I focused 100% just on this as a priority, like, can I catch Sal in his deadlift? Can I catch Justin in his squat? Knowing that I've never given two shits about that, you know, what I want to experience that. And then I wanted to be able to share and talk about the things that I noticed along the ways. Like, and there was some great benefits and great learning experiences that I had going through that process. But then there were some things that I also noticed that were major drawbacks of training that way.
Well, so let me ask you this. Let me ask you this then. If you were to just objectively stand outside of your body, what do you think would be the best way for you to train your body according to your genetics, according to how, you know, what you think is going to benefit you the most in the long term and overall, you know, make you just feel most comfortable being yourself without thinking of experimenting in these different endeavors in extreme ways?
Well,
what would that look like?
It would require the me letting go of any sort of real aesthetic goals, because knowing that I've always been the skinny body type and the ectomorph look for so long, that's my body type, and 100% accepting and being okay with that I'm not going to have 22 inch arms, I'm not going to have 30 inch quads, and I'm not going to have 20 inch calves. But I can build an aesthetic physique that's pleasing to the eye and looks fit, but not being obsessed with trying to do that or driving to push beyond where my body naturally wants to go, which is what it required me to do to compete on stage. And then also making sure that, you know, mobility is a high priority. So, you know, and that's why I think I fall in like this MAPS green and MAPS black marriage. Like, that's really the baby of like how I train.
Like mobility and aesthetics.
Yeah, for longevity reasons. For how I would train forever would really look like that, where it's a mixture of taking all of our tools from MAPS Green and integrating it with the things I love to do.
So, because it begs the question when you talk about that, it begs the question. Obviously, if I were to say what's aesthetic to a bunch of people, that you would get this kind of general consensus, right? Aesthetics is, you know, for a man, wide shoulders, smaller waist, narrow hips, muscles, you know, here, there. Aesthetics for a woman is this hip to waist ratio. And they kind of write all these different, you know, this general consensus down. But I always make the argument that, you know, that there is this general kind of, you know, thing that the world can agree on, where there's, you know, some kind of aesthetic qualities. But I think on an individual basis, people will look their best if they kind of follow their body. Do you know what I'm saying? So rather than taking this general consensus, and let's say you're this super ectomorph guy or this endomorph guy with this real overweight big dude, and you say to yourself, oh, this is what is this general consensus of aesthetics. I'm going to just hammer myself to look this way. And in order to look that way, I have to eat like this. I have to work out this way. I would argue that they would probably look better if they kind of followed their body a little bit and worked, you know, and listen to their body a little bit more. Does that make sense?
Yeah, but that's, you know, that's so debatable, because It's your opinion on what they look like based off of you. It's even like when you say, if you just chase, you know, healthy, that healthy looks better. But let's, to be honest, and to be honest with ourselves, and to be honest with like society, like that's unfortunately that's not true. It's not true because most people don't know how to look at health that way.
They don't
understand how to do what you're trying to explain. And I think that,
well, that's a problem. There's a big problem. You're right. A lot of people don't. But
we idolize models that are, most of them are anorexic and have eating disorders. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like the women want, and if you ask, probably 80% of them would say that is beautiful and I want to look that way. Yeah. So for you to say that chasing health, and if you just focus on that you could obtain.
So here's the thing. You are using, when you look at, you know, people that are portrayed in magazines or entertainment, you do realize that none of those people represent average, not even close. In fact, if you were to take 1,000 people.
Absolutely, that's the problem.
Well, no, I understand. That's but what problem. I'm saying is identifying that, understanding that, what people need to understand is that them being healthy, they're going to look their best being healthy versus chasing, you know, or trying to look like somebody who was born a mutant. I mean, have you ever met a supermodel in person?
No, and that's.
I mean, they're a mutant.
The point that I'm trying to make isn't that you're wrong. That's not the right way to approach it. My argument is that people don't know how to do that yet. People don't know how to disseminate from that yet. They don't understand the difference between this mutant looking guy on the Muscle Fitness magazine or this supermodel who's, you know, throwing up after every meal, that this is not healthy. This is not what you want to look like. And in fact, if you chased what was optimal for you and healthy for you, you would look way better than you ever would be trying to chase that based off of what they're expressing or sharing or showing you on their ways of getting there. So I'm not disagreeing with what you're saying. I'm disagreeing that I don't think people are ready to look or to get. They're not there yet.
Well, society. I mean, it needs a rewiring. Like people need to understand that there's other metrics that or other like areas that you can focus on that will benefit your overall. And then as a byproduct, your aesthetics will improve. But really, like, I feel it's so psychological, because for me, it's never like the aesthetic piece to it has been something that I just have a disconnect to that. Like, and I know you guys definitely have brought that up as like insecurities, and these are things that like have been a focus. And I guess I've just been so consumed by trying to perform and trying to be at the pinnacle of, you know, what I could do in a sport that I never idolized that. I never thought that. I mean, I always was impressed by it, but at the same time, it's just like it doesn't even cross my mind that like somebody looks at something, you know, oh, well, you should shape this up a little bit better. You should do this a little bit better. I'm like, well, you can't fucking move. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I try to sort of get in the mindset of that, just to be able to voice in on a lot of these conversations. But it's really interesting to me because it's one of those things that I don't really feel like there's a lot of people that share that, because society in general, like the main focus of that is the pinnacle of fitness success is six pack, you know, a chiseled body, something that reflects that. Whereas, you know, for me, like I just look at that as like, I'm confused. Like I want to know what they can do.
You know, what's funny is that you say that, and then I think that the answer for that is also the thing you hate probably more than any of us, which is CrossFit. Mm-hmm. Like I think that for so many years we have been glorifying these people on magazines and stuff like that can't move and aren't really in great shape and they can't perform and they just look sexy and they're photoshopped to death. And then out comes CrossFit, which is heavily performance. It's all about performance. It's not if you just perform like an animal, you'll die.
Yeah, perform or die. It's right. Like the mentality.
So like, it was, and I think that's a lot. I think that resonated with a lot of people, and so that's why that movement exploded like it did. Because you're right. There is, and I think a lot of people are getting fed up with that. But I think then you became this other extreme. I really think that Mind Pump is always trying to help people with that balance. You know, let's even talk about like the super athlete, the CrossFit athlete, or the, you know, basketball player at the professional labor level, or a football player. Like, people really think these people are super healthy and are in super great shape because they can perform,
right?
Because
you have
to, that's not even the only indicator.
No,
for
and there's
optimal
a,
health.
There's
either.
A difference for there's a difference between fitness and performance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can train.
Explain that.
Well, I can train if I'm going to compete in a a deadlift competition, and I want to maximize my performance. It's very specific, right? If it's a very specific metric in that particular situation. My performance in the deadlift. And so I'm going to do everything I can to get my deadlift to go up.
Mm-hmm.
Fitness is much more broad. It's much more all-encompassing. And there's lots of factors that go into fitness. Can you move well? Can you perform in different in different ways? Can you do you have good sleep? Do you feel like you have good energy? Do you have a good relationship to exercise and to nutrition? Is this something that is contributing to other aspects of your life versus taking away from them? Like, if I'm constantly just training for this deadlift competition, other aspects of my life will probably suffer, like my endurance maybe, or, you know, my, you know, maybe I'm going to overtrain my, or, you know, get my posterior chain too much and cause some imbalances. There's definitely situations where getting stronger, for example, is not going to improve your fitness. You know, we're getting stronger might be a bad thing. I mean, if I strengthen a poor recruitment pattern, do I have better fitness?
Well, that's why I'm such the anti-running guy because of this. People don't realize. I would venture to say that more than 50% of the people, probably much higher than that, that are out there running on a regular basis probably have no business doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And that sounds crazy, right? And someone's like, what? How could he say that? And oh my God, that's healthy. And wait, no, dude, like most people have these really bad recruitment patterns because of what they do all day long, that their little 5-mile run that they're patting themselves on the back for doing, like they have no idea the wear and tear they're actually doing.
Well, you know what the problem is? The problem is that we compare doing that to regular modern lifestyle, which is worse, mm-hmm. which is nothing, right?
Yeah.
So then you're like, what? What are you talking about?
No, that's
like,
a great point, right?
Yeah.
It's better than sitting on the couch, right? It's better than not doing anything whatsoever.
Exactly. So we have such a
of the shit pile again.
We have such a low bar that, you know, hey, you know, you have a desk job all day long. Why don't you go do this, you know, repetitive motion over and over again, which is, you know, cementing poor recruitment patterns. Because that's better than what you're currently doing. And it's unfortunate that that's the bar that we use. I think people need to identify, you know, it's just movement. I mean, there's so many things, so many ways you can improve your fitness. And they don't have to be these specific, like running all the time or just go and lift, you know, all the time. Like there's so many different things you can do to improve your overall fitness. And it really, it's this all-encompassing thing, right? Everything from movement, you know.
Well, I'm gonna get kind of outside of my character with this one just a little bit because.
Whoa!
What? Yeah. What's outside of his character?
Well, I'm gonna actually give CrossFit a little bit of praise here. And
whoa!
Yeah.
The hell's going on?
Well, yeah,
are you sick? The universe.
Doug, could you
exploded.
Check his temperature real quick, please?
Yeah, because I feel like throughout this entire process of trying to define that, like that's one version that's been created to try to address these issues. And I feel like, maybe there was some intention there that was, you know, sparked by, good ideas. Like I want to be able to create benchmarks for different movement patterns, and I want to be able to assess, my capabilities as a human being and what my abilities are and how to express that. But then it just got out of hand and it got crazy as far as what they were actually focusing on. So then, I mean, what sparked is listening to Kelly Starrett kind of talk about this, how the focus of like a pull-up became different and, you know, the speed at which they were performing these types of movements became different. And then the combination of how they used this movement, you know, paired with this movement, it diminished the quality of what they were doing. And, you know, I feel like we are all trying still to seek out, how to define a human being's fitness level and capacity. And I feel like we're getting closer the smarter we get, in combination with a lot of theories out there. And, you know, and this is really what I feel Mind Pump is defining, that and filtering good ideas.
Or at least we're trying.
With where they failed, too.
Yeah.
I feel like sports, that's not the ultimate pinnacle. I thought as a kid, you know, that's not what a fit human being, you know, like, I wouldn't define it that
way.
That's
a high performing human being in a very specific
in a skill.
In a very specific,
well, that's
exactly.
This is how I think someone like Kelly Start, who I have so much respect for, could attach himself to CrossFit. Is I think he saw the good in it. I think he could see, like, hey, you know, we're starting to teach these humans to do some basic movements that we know, and we know as trainers, like, and I know it's silly because if you drive by any CrossFit in your area, you're bound to see all of a sudden a bunch of knuckleheads running outside with weights over their head as they run circles, right? They run around with plates over their head, but there's something really good about that, you know, because that's a movement that we lose. Like, people stop doing that. They stop moving the shoulder in that position, and it's a very basic thing that you should be able to do. You should be able to take your shoulders all the way back behind your ears and hold your arms up in a locked position to where you could suspend weight over your head for a good amount of time without fatiguing. So, you know, they took, and then like a pistol squat, the ability to come all the way down on a single leg, to have that hip and ankle mobility is a great thing, and you should be able to do that. And I remember just recently, this only happened like maybe 6-7 months ago, whenever it was, right before I really got crazy into the mobility, this was the red flag. Like, Katrina and I were talking, and, you know, we're in our room, and somehow it came up about a pistol squat. She had seen somebody do, I think it was Justin did the jumping on the 2x4 into the single leg pistol, right? And I was telling her, like, oh yeah, I know, we used to do all that stuff all the time and balance on a stability ball or a medicine ball and do it. And I was telling, and then I like jumped up real quick to show off, yeah. I couldn't do it. Like, I could, not only could I not do it, but like, I didn't even really attempt it, because just starting to decelerate into the pistol squat, I could feel how uncomfortable it was for me, and how foreign it felt for something that I was so good at doing, that I used to mess around with how unstable I was while I did this movement. And I went, holy shit. Like, yeah. It wasn't that.
Was it that you're unconnected to that, or was it that you had built a significant amount of more muscle that was, you know,
probably unconnected. He was strong. It's not like you weren't strong.
Yeah, yeah.
The
strength
is there.
I was stronger. I'm squatting more weight than I squatted, right, you know, 4 years ago for sure. But 4 years ago, I could stand on a stability ball, balance on it, and do a single leg pistol.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're
so
connected to it.
I couldn't do a pistol standing on flat ground that's not moving anymore, much less holding on to something or on an unstable environment. So it was, and I just hadn't done it. I hadn't done it, and I had lost that connectivity. And it was like, wow, you know, here I am a trainer. Here I am doing great movements. Here I'm getting stronger. I look better, all these things. But because I've neglected that, look what it's done. And so that was like a big moment for me, where I realized that, God, even a trainer like me, and even somebody who aesthetically could look, you know, look really fit, how deceiving that can be. And how important it is that we continue to do these basic movements that improve shoulder and hip and ankle.
Well, you do realize
function.
This is why the whole muscle bound myth came about. You know, muscle bound is a term that's been used to describe bodybuilders, right? People who lift weights, they say that they're muscle bound. They can't move. They look so stiff. And you know, there's some truth in that. I mean, if you see bodybuilders moving in the gym, they do look stiff. They do move kind of weird. You know, they look like they're muscle bound. It's actually a pretty good, accurate way to describe how some of them look. But it's not because they're not strong. I mean, obviously
they're
very, very strong.
They haven't been doing full range of motion reps.
Well, they've done is they've trained their body to move that way. They've trained particular ranges of motion so frequently and over again that their body's gotten really good at moving that way, and it's lost the ability to move in other ways. And here's the thing, like, I want to be able to give people just some general ideas of some of the stuff that they should be able to do. I mean, we're not going to, you know, nothing crazy. Like, you don't need to be swinging from trees and doing crazy stuff. That'd be great. But there are some basic, you know, foundational or movements that you should be able to do as a human being. And when you start to lose these abilities, you lose lots of function. And you should be able to test these things. You should be able to test yourself and see if you could do these. And if you can't, try and be able to do these. One of them is a squat. One of them is just a basic, you sit in a squat?
I'm going to take you further than that then, if you're going to say that. I think that a very basic thing that you should be able to do is you should be able to sit down like a baby does. You should be able to sit down all the way down and hold yourself in that.
Sit in a squat.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Sit where you're literally.
You're comfortable in it.
You know what sucks? By the way, you know what sucks about that? I can't.
I know. That's why I said
it. I can't do
it. I wanted to make sure I pointed that out because I don't want people to think that just being able to squat is enough. No, it's not, because squatting down to 90 degrees or a chair is not full range.
No, I was actually referring to what you're saying.
Yeah. Like you should be able to, and you should be comfortable with that. Like, and I'll tell you right now, it's, if you can't, and it seems so far away right now, it's not, because it was very far away for me less than a year ago. And now I can sit in that position for an hour, no problem, completely comfortable. It's a very comfortable position, but it was very uncomfortable for me just 6 months ago. Mm-hmm. So it has taken a lot of work with ankle mobility and hip mobility to get to that point. But once you're there, now it's really cool, because now I've just made it a routine and a habit to just sit down in that position.
Well, isn't that interesting that most people would identify the fact that, I just can't do that. It's not in my body's ability.
Yeah.
Whereas they've never even put the effort or practice into that movement to produce it. So they can't even really definitively say that it's not within their ability.
You know what's funny is that if let's just say
most people can't define their goals.
Well, I was just going to say, let's just say for whatever reason, a long time ago, we invented these like machines that made us hover and fly around. Okay, and so like everything you do, you hover and fly around since you're a child. Super convenient. You get lots of shit done. Humans would lose their ability to walk. Right, walking we know is a fundamental human movement. Everybody, for the most part, the vast majority of us should be able to walk. But if you didn't walk, if you never walk, you'll lose it. You won't be able to walk. And so then it's gone. Squatting is a fundamental, sitting on your haunches like that, on the floor, like Adam was saying, is a fundamental human movement. That's how humans pooped. That's how humans gave birth. That's how we did shit on the floor. Humans didn't just bend over with their low back on fire while they were doing stuff for low.
Isn't it funny when we think about it too, that we think societies that actually that shit like that are so like third world, when in reality
that's the most natural way to
it
shit.
It is the most.
They invented the squatty potty.
Just don't do it in the shower.
It's the healthiest.
God, that's gross.
It's the healthiest way for us to poop. People don't realize that, like how, and the fact that we've built these beautiful toilets now, these porcelain toilets that are elevated, you know, 2.5-3 feet plus off the ground. And it's just, all it's done is created.
Here we go, the mobility toilet. We'll bring it down like 5 inches.
It's got like a little hydraulic system on it, so you can just keep working on on your depth
just incrementally.
Now that's actually kind of cool, because we couldn't go straight all the way to the ground.
No, you can't go right all the way.
Because people are like, well, this is lame.
It's a hole on the floor.
So that wouldn't work. But you know, absolutely, something that was adjustable would be phenomenal. But that's kind of how you work towards that. So I remember when I first started really trying to, that was the goal, right? So let me back up a little bit.
I like that.
The goal was
mobility
to be able to poop
toilet.
Like that.
No, I do like that. I do like that.
Do you stand on the toilet now and poop?
Yeah. So Kelly Start said something weird that I thought was really, really, really intelligent.
Perches like a bird.
When you ask somebody like, "What's your goal?" and they'll say something that's really surface level, and they don't truly understand their own goal. Like, for example, like, you know, to look a certain way or lose a certain amount of pounds or like that. Like, well, what does that exactly equate to? And what does that exactly mean? And learning how to define that. And, you know, if you were to ask me, you know, just recently what my goal was, it was to get to a point where, you know, I could sit in that squatted position and be comfortable there. And then from there, I had to back up and say, okay, well, now how do I get there and what does it take? And I think this goes along the lines of some of the things that we've been kind of recently talking about on MindPup, is teaching people how to learn how to focus on other goals and what everybody else is, all the sexy goals like PRs and looking like you're stage ready. Like those two goals, as cool as they all are and as cool as I love to chase them too, they're not the end all be all at all. And it's okay to shift away from that and to find and have another goal of just, and I think everybody at one point in their life, if not all the time, and everybody should have a goal to move better and to be able to do the things that are very, very basic that we have just decided as we've gotten older that I just can't do anymore. Well, like, that's the worst thing I ever want to hear from somebody.
Well, let me ask you this, Adam, because you've recently done this now, right? You said you weren't, as soon as, what, 6 months ago or a year ago, you were unable to
sit. Yeah, it was less than a year ago.
You were unable to sit down in a squat,
mm-hmm.
and now you're able to do it comfortably.
Yeah.
What was the process? Like, I want people to leave,
yeah.
you know, I want people to listen and say, oh, have some tools, you know what I mean? Like, how can I get to that point?
So,
and what benefits now have you seen from being able to do that?
Okay, so two of the most common areas I think that hinder people from getting down in there is the hip and the ankles. Now, there could be other things. Like, I have a client right now that had knee surgery and has all kinds of scar tissue built up. And, you know, the primary thing that's limiting her right now is her knee, right? Mm-hmm. And the buildup there. So that's mm-hmm. that's a whole nother exception to the rule. But for the most part, most people that cannot get down in that position.
Well, it starts with how you ground on the floor with your feet.
Yeah, you know, so and that goes to the ankle mobility thing where I'm going with this is yeah. that, you know, hips and shoulders are the two areas that I started addressing. And you can, if you're really good, you can start working on both. At one, you know, both at a time, or kind of what I did was I really addressed the hips first and really started to see some good progression in that. And then as I got really deeper into my squat and getting all the way down, then I realized how much I was limited by the ankles. Mm. And a good part of this was a lot of our boy, Dr. Brink, you know, he was the one that really opened my eyes and the limiting factor in my ankles. And what Justin's saying is getting down to grounding and getting myself barefoot. So, you know, and we've done some really good videos already on Mind Pump TV. So if you're not subscribed to the YouTube channel, you know, I'm telling you to go do that. That's why we put all this free content out there, is so you guys can start piecing a lot of the things that we talk about on the show and starting to look at those videos and put it together like, oh, okay, this is what the boys mean by mm-hmm. the hip mobility and mm-hmm. ankle mobility and how I apply this. So we've actually already done videos on both hip and ankle mobility on our YouTube channel, and that those exact movements that I shared with the audience was exactly what I was doing. But what I was doing,
so step one, were you just doing like these hip the because we filmed them, obviously that's what you're talking about, the hip mobility stuff. Were you just, was that the first progression? Like, you just started doing that?
So, okay, what I started doing was it became the first 10 minutes of every workout. So I eliminated foam rolling. And I started to do all mobility drills. I started to do all.
And yours were focused heavily on hips?
Hips first.
Okay.
Okay, so I was doing like my Froggers, my Pigeons, my, you know, leg swings, my, what else was on the videos that I shared? Swings. Oh,
upside 90, down stripper pole.
No, my 90-90 stretch with all the progressions. So these were my basic hip movements that I was doing every day before my workout. And I started with that. So that was the beginning. The beginning was like, okay, I'm just going to make sure that every time I go to the gym that I begin it with opening these hips up and getting connected.
So 10 minutes of mobility.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Sometimes less, five okay. to 10, you know, as long
but
as
just doing it frequently.
Yes. Yeah. You got to remember, like, and we're huge advocates of this, of understanding that you don't go from 0 to 100 miles an hour right away. You don't need to. Like, just like anything.
Oh my God, if you would have hurt yourself anyway.
Yeah. Just think about that though. Like, people go from one extreme to the other. Like, if you never did any mobility, you never did any stretching, and then all of a sudden you're like, okay, I'm going to become flexible. And then you start doing it hella intense for an hour at a time, or you go take yoga for an hour. It's like, dude, you weren't doing anything before. Try adding 5 minutes a day of those moves that are going to improve that. So that's all I did was I said, okay, every time before I start working out, I'm going to include this. And I started doing that. And right away, I saw huge improvement. I saw huge improvement in my squat and my low back pain and things like that, that I was very aware of whenever I would do like heavy squatting or deadlifting. And it already started to alleviate some of that. And I felt so much more comfortable doing those moves. So right away, I was like, okay, wow, I'm already starting to see some progression. Sure, I wasn't able to get all the way down to a full squat to where my butt sat down. Sure, I wasn't seeing PRs going crazy, but I was feeling better and I was connecting that, right? So after I did that, I applied our frequency principle, which we talk about, like our trigger sessions.
So you got better at it and then you did it more and more frequently?
Yeah, and basically what I did were we share trigger sessions with people, and that's probably one of the most revolutionary things about our programs is that concept. I took that same concept and I applied it with my mobility drills. So now 2 to 3 times a day, I was spending 5 to 8 minutes, maybe 10 minutes tops, doing a couple of these movements. Mm-hmm. And what we always teach people is, you know, here I'm going to give you an array of movements that are what generally help most people, but you're going to find like maybe 1 or 2 or 3 of those like really help you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Make those a priority. Make those ones a priority.
It's like the blueprints in mass performance when we're trying to identify, you know, good quality mobility drills to include. It has to cover the gamut of, you know, things like dysfunction and things that we see within people's movement patterns that, you know, we specifically want to address, but we want to make sure that you go through that. You're this whole time you're paying attention to the, mm-hmm. to the signals and, you know, what's difficult and why can't you move that way? And, that's something that you really want to like bring into the routine consistently and make sure that you frequent that, you know, in your program.
Well, Adam was saying, you know, you were saying how, you know, you applied the frequency principle. And I think it's important for people to understand that what he did with his hips and his ankles over the last year had nothing to do with changing the bones of his femur, of his pelvis, of his ankle. It had nothing to do with changing the joint. The muscles didn't even change, really.
No, I didn't build a bunch more muscle or anything.
What changed was he was able to create new patterning. He was able to teach his central nervous system to fire some muscles in certain ways, relax other muscles, allow his body to move the way it could. Because for those of you listening right now who can't sit in a squat, if I peeled all the muscle off your body and just had your skeleton, I bet you I could sit you in a squat. I could sit your skeleton in a squat, no problem.
Absolutely.
So what's preventing you, for the vast majority of you, of course, barring those of you with major injury or problem, but for the vast majority of you, is you just don't have this patterning.
Neuromuscular connectivity.
Right, and the best way to get patterning is just practice, and that's why frequency is so effective. That's why intensity isn't. Like, if you're trying to teach your kid how to ride a bike, they're better off practicing 2 or 3 times a day than putting them on the bike and fucking throwing them down the freeway. And, you know, go! You know, you got to pick. You know, they're not going to learn
shit. I was thinking of that track that's at like a 45-degree angle. You know how it goes up like a NASCAR? Yeah. Just throwing them on that.
Learn! My stepdad did that to my sister. To this day, she still hates him. And I swear that's why. Because we all were learning. I was older, so I already knew how to ride a bike. I wasn't great at it. And we all were. And my sister didn't have training wheels. It was her first mountain bike, and we were heading down a hill, and he like set her on this hill, and she crashed really bad, and she hurt herself, and like forever she's scarred for that. Like, she's 34 years old. She still shares that story when that motherfucker put her on the hill. She'll talk about like how she doesn't like him. That's totally unrelated to that, and she'll be like,
bring that one up.
Yeah, and this motherfucker put me on a hill when I was 6.
It's like, hey, you want to sit in a squat? We're gonna put 300 pounds on your back. It's going to push you down to a squat.
Yeah,
don't worry. You'll be absolutely fine.
Yeah, you know.
So you went from mobility drills before your workouts, then you increased the frequency of them to where you were doing, you know, 2-3 times a day.
Yeah.
Then were you at any point, were you maybe throughout the day getting yourself into a seated squat and just trying to sit there and hold it?
Not there yet. Like, okay. So, and that's where there's progressions and regressions to all of this stuff. So
now what are the signals your body's telling you? That because I want the listeners to really understand this, because I don't want people to try to then get mobility and do it the wrong way.
Yeah.
What were the signals that you listened to that your body were telling you that helped you realize like I could progress and add a little more?
Well,
like, what was it?
Well, and I'll be honest too. I, you know, even though I was listening to those signals, part of me got excited and pushed beyond where I need to. And I even kind of re-injured myself a little bit and had to progress back. So I know that this is a difficult part. So that's a great question. I mean, sometimes we get so excited about progression and getting better and challenging ourselves and pushing that, you know, as I started to see the results, I was like, oh yeah, I can do this. I can do further. Oh, I can add some more weight now. Oh, you know, and I was doing that and ended up re-injuring myself. Very minor, but enough to set me back to where I kind of had to peel back and check myself. So, for me, I got away. What I started to do, which was wrong, so I'll start with that. Like what I started to do is I started to notice I was the hip, the pain, the stuff like that was going away. I was able to get deeper into my squat. I felt better going into it. So right away, I wanted to start challenging it by stacking weight on. So that was a mistake. So I'll tell you that. That's a mistake. Is just because all of a sudden you've got this newfound range of motion is to be so excited you start piling on weight and saying like, okay, let's see what I can do with this.
Let me add to that real quick just to kind of cement it into people's minds. If your range of motion is 12 inches and you're able to squat 200 pounds within 12 inches, when I add 2 or 3 more inches to that mobility, I can't squat that same weight within the new range of motion. I have not trained that range of motion to be strong yet. And so I think that's where you made your mistake, right?
Exactly. Okay. That's exactly what I did was I was continuing to challenge my stance and the weight that I was putting on. It was too much too fast, and I paid for it, which I'll be very honest, that's very common for me. Like that's something I think all of us do, right? I think if we're truly honest with ourselves, especially trainers, because we know, even though we know better, we continue to push those limits and challenge ourselves like that. And I'm always reminded, and my body reminded me, like, you're an idiot. Like, don't do that. So once I started to see the progression in my hips and I was getting deeper and deeper in the squat, then I started to do what you're saying now, which was I would start to, you know, sit as low as I possibly can. No weight on my back, just my body weight throughout the day.
Did you have to start by holding on things?
Yeah, like, okay. So holding on to like a, you know, a TRX rope or a bar or something next to me. Or what would happen is when I would come down, my heels would elevate up off the ground and I would be up on the balls of my feet. Now, that's where I knew that now what was limiting me from getting that ankles. Deep was now ankles.
Yeah, because you used to wear the squat shoe.
Yeah, I had to.
To get you in that depth.
I had to.
So funny, too, because it made me squat more weight. So there you go. I started using squat shoes.
Oh, well, yeah.
And
you're not addressing the root.
Yeah, not at all, man. It's amazing how, I don't care how experienced you are, you just fall for that same pattern, you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, because we're even as trainers, and even knowing better, and even though we preach,
well, you want to lift a lot of weight.
Let's be honest with ourselves.
We're men.
My ultimate goal is to move pain free through full range of motion the most amount of weight I possibly can. So just because all of a sudden I see this great progression in movement, I now want to challenge the weight side of it right away, which is, you know, I'm getting a little ahead of myself by doing that. You know, I should have continue to work on that patterning and become to where that's become second nature to me and becomes very comfortable and natural and then slowly incrementally put the weight
that up. Let's stop right there because that is very, very, very good advice.
Mm-hmm.
Before you progress to the next phase of your getting better range of motion, getting better tension stability within these fundamental movements, you got to get real comfortable with what you're currently doing. Mm-hmm. When you get real comfortable with your new mobility drill or your new sit in a squat type thing, and it feels like, wow, this is really easy now, then you got to
start incrementally adding.
You load. Just inch it. You just move inch, forward yeah. an inch, and then get comfortable with that, and then move forward. And within a short period of time, look, within a year, you're talking about a guy. You know, we're talking about Adam who could not sit in a bottom position squat, could not, and within 1 year, I mean, he had poor mobility. It wasn't even okay. You would consider it poor.
Oh yeah,
went from poor to now I would consider pretty damn good within 1 year. And I mean, let me ask this because I know this motivates so many people. I know a lot of listeners are motivated by what does that mean aesthetically? What does that mean performance wise? What did you notice from that new hip mobility with your strength, with the way you looked, with the way you moved, with all those different things?
Well, I mean, my legs are in better condition, better shape and size than they've ever been in my life right now. And I think that's just part of that is I'm utilizing them completely, you know, where before I wasn't even tapping into all of them. Like when you're squatting down to 90 degrees and you're coming back up, like, I mean, your glutes, your quads can take you much further than that, you know? And so it's like you're not using its full potential. To me, I think of it like having a Ferrari or a race car. And yeah, I can get to 0 to 60 really fast, but you know, that shit will go all the way up to 200 something miles an hour and never really tapping into that part of it. Like, yeah, I get going fast.
There was another gear for that you didn't even know was there.
Yeah, right. There's a whole another side to it that you never really experience.
Along those lines too, like for me, that's why I'm so interested in other types of skills, and I really try to immerse myself with other like tools or objects or movement patterns, or because I'm like, wait a minute, if I'm not using any of those types of movement patterns, you know, what am I not contributing? What muscle isn't contributing in a lot of lifts? You know, like I'm starting to figure out that, like, if I'm not adding this type of rotation, you know, in my shoulder, what that does, to a certain point, I'm going to hit a wall where I'm not supported, and I need all these muscles to benefit each other. And so if I'm not out seeking these types of unique movements and tools and things to implement into a very specific, not even a workout, but a very specific part of my either mobility or just a practice to learn and go through that process of incremental progress with that type of a movement or new skill that I'm trying to acquire.
It's such a mental issue for a lot of people. Like, it can be very fun if you change your understanding of what you're doing with your exercise. Yeah. I have a couple people that I'm coaching right now, and one of them I've had to have her dramatically reduce the amount of weight that she presses overhead, because she had shoulder dysfunction. I mean, and one of the other fundamental movements, right, is being able to reach straight up above your head, arm totally straight, shoulder packed, you know, arm next to your side, arm next to your head, you know, type of a press. And she was unable to do that with, you know, she's had pain in her shoulder. So we've had to, like, dramatically cut her weight, which has caused a lot of stress for her and a lot of grief, because now she's working out with a third of the weight she was working out before. So she feels like she's going backwards. Mm-hmm. And it requires you to change your mentality with what you're doing, because if it's all about the amount of weight you lift or how lean you look, it's going to be very difficult for you to address these things. And it makes it not fun. Mm-hmm. It's not fun to do mobility when all you're worried about is how much you can lift, you know, off the floor. If that's all you're focused on, and you're focused on that one particular movement within a particular range of motion, I mean, if I always overhead press and never lock my elbows out, or if I always do it seated and I never do it standing, of course I'm going to have to use a lot less weight.
Yeah.
Well, to somebody who all they care about is how much weight I'm lifting, well, fuck that. I'm not going to do it then. I know. I used to do that, man. I would not do an exercise because I'd be like, well, I can lift more doing it this way. And my mentality was, I'll build more muscle this way. And plus, it's, you know, it's better for my ego to lift this much weight.
Have you ever seen somebody in person that was so insanely connected to their movement that it just impressed the shit out of you?
Yeah, I've seen gymnasts tend to do that to me. When I've trained a couple gymnasts way in the past with weights, and I'd have to teach them, you know, biomechanics of the exercises just because they didn't do some of them. But I was always so, like, amazed at their connectivity with their bodies. And Olympic lifters, on certain movements, certain, you know, they're so connected and they're so able to, like, call upon their power. That's always impressed their shit out of me. It's like, wow, how do they generate that much?
Yeah,
power.
I met, well, and I've referenced Dr. Ed Thomas before, but I've seen him in person explain his way through these Indian club movements and rotations. And I couldn't believe, for one, him, just his posture. And you know that, like, he's worked on that for, like, decades, just his posture alone. And then how that in itself provided the most fluid, controlled, strong movement I've ever seen in my life.
Really?
I've never seen anybody be able to go through without any kind of
Dr. Eric Thomas?
Hitch. Ed Thomas.
Ed Thomas? Yeah. How do I not know who that is?
He's an older guy. He's an old. He's actually, like, responsible for a lot of the
How
physical
dare
education
you not
in America. Yeah.
How dare you have not shared that with us? I don't know who. I don't even know
I
who
have.
That is.
Yeah. Well, he.
He's like, you don't listen.
I have. Yeah.
This could be possible.
I mentioned it before, but yeah. No, he actually he taught a lot of Greg Cook what he knows as far as, like, with the Indian clubs and also just posture and movement in general. And, like, you know, Greg Cook's, like, been really influential with creating the movement screening process, which, you know, in turn has actually been able to create certain benchmarks for movement capacity, which is great. But yeah, like, that, he's like the father of physical education, Dr. Ed Thomas. He worked with the military, and he did all their calisthenics, and he's just been world renowned for what he's done with that.
Yeah, so. I think for the average listener who's not, like, this fanatic about movement and exercise, but just wants to just be in better shape overall, pick things that you can't do. Pick movements that you find difficult. Things that are kind of fundamental, like sitting in a squat or really reaching up overhead with your arms straight and shoulders packed without any pain. You know, good rotation, being able to twist well, being able to reach down and pick things up and look up at the sky at the same time. Like all these movements that you see babies do and move, or that you see, you know, really, you know, healthy, you know, fit people be able to do. And just test yourself out. And when you can't do these things, if you can't sit in a squat, just start practicing little things that help you do, like even walking on a curb or balancing.
Stop you right there, because that's where I think it gets challenging for people. And this is also what, this is why we provided the forum, was that that's where things get a little hard or challenging for the average mind. I'm here, I am a, you know, software engineer, and that's where all my education is. And I don't want to think about, you know, why can't I do this squat and exactly what steps I need to take? That's a lot of thinking for somebody who thinks in a whole different mentality.
Sure.
99% of their day, of course, right? So, you know, we understand that. We understand that that can be a lot. So, you know, part of the forum, and it's loaded full of all kinds of doctors and physical therapists and chiros. And I mean, Dr. Brink, who we speak so highly about, and we're working on a program with him, is he's on there and helps people out. So if you know, you, everyone can at least assess if you have a problem. Like if you can't put your hands over your head, you can't squat down below 9 degrees, you know you have a problem, but you don't quite know how to start or where do you go from there. I mean, that's why we have that community. We have a community full of people that are there, either one, have experienced it themselves, or two, they have a doctor there or a physical therapist there that they can reach out to and say, hey, these are my issues, this is what I feel, this is what I notice, and then get feedback from them saying like, oh, you could be dealing with this, you could be dealing with that, here are some moves or some things for you to practice. And that's why too, we create the YouTube channel with all the videos, is we hope that we'll have this glossary of all these different moves and mobility drills and exercises that we keep putting out there, because eventually I want it to be able to be that easy for you where you could ask, and one day I hope it'll be automated to where it'll be that easy where you're on the forum or you're somewhere and you put in something like that and it just gives you all these common dysfunctions and then ways to correct it and then all these videos that could be attached to it that will help you. So, you know, I can't stress that enough. If you're somebody who, this resonates with, and you're like, man, I gotta address this. I gotta work on it, but I don't know where to start. I feel like the guys gave lots of information. I know they have this channel, but I still don't know. I mean, this is where the forum really comes in, and this is where I'm so proud of that community that, you know, that we built, and I continue to give kudos to Sal because I know that he really put his heart and soul into that, and still does. And you can find us on there. I mean, we're on there on a regular basis, and that's this is the stuff I feel like. I mean, a lot of things are communicated on there, but these are the things that I feel like, wow, this is where we're changing lives. This is where we're really helping people, because that's tough.
And
it's tough.
I think the big takeaway is it's a journey. That's really what I want to get across. If you're finding that you can't do some of these fundamental movements, it's a journey. And like any journey, it starts with one step and just practice a small part of it, and very, very slowly get yourself better at doing some of these things. And if you do get stuck and you don't have the right tools, or you don't have the answer to how you can get past that, there are some fantastic resources, and we hope you end up picking Mind Pump. We can vouch for some of the information we put out and some of the information that our forum puts out. So if you like Mind Pump, leave us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes. If we like your review and we pick it, you will win a free Mind Pump t-shirt. You can also find us on Instagram at Mind Pump Radio. You can find me at Mind Pump Sal, Adam at Mind Pump Adam, and Justin at Mind Pump Justin.
Thank you for listening to Mind Pump. If your goal is to build and shape your body, dramatically improve your health and energy, and maximize your overall performance, check out our discounted RGB Super Bundle at mindpumpmedia.com. The RGB Super Bundle includes MAPS Anabolic, MAPS Performance, and MAPS Aesthetic. 9 months of phased expert exercise programming designed by Sal, Adam, and Justin to systematically transform the way your body looks, feels, and performs. With detailed workout blueprints and over 200 videos, the RGB Super Bundle is like having Sal, Adam, and Justin as your own personal trainers, but at a fraction of the price. The RGB Super Bundle has a full 30-day money-back guarantee, and you can get it now, plus other valuable free resources at mindpumpmedia.com. If you enjoy this show, please share the love by leaving us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes and by introducing Mind Pump to your friends and family. We thank you for your support, and until next time, this is Mind Pump.
Whether you're looking to build a website for your business, your hobby, your podcast, or just for fun, Pear Networks is your go-to web hosting partner. Not only do we have the lowest domain price in the industry, starting at just $11, we've got hundreds of stunning website templates to help you stand out from the crowd. You're not a techie? Not a problem. With our easy DIY site builders, you can launch your impressive website without any technical know-how. And when it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 US-based customer support is the best in the industry. Check out pear.com today to learn more. PAIR.com.